You are listening to the Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., the founder of the Body Regeneration Method. And I am here to empower you and teach you how to connect to the God consciousness like you've never connected before. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine science, spirituality, and ministry to help you unlock the secrets within so you can finally let go of what's holding you back. If you are truly ready to break free and bring in the new and stop wasting your time, join me and together let's unlock your superpowers so you can live your extraordinary life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Tracy L. Clark Show. I'm so happy you're here. Change and shift. And did you make it through the eclipse? It's still going. We know the last half of this year is a little bit chaotic, and we've seen it chaotic. And, you know, last week when we were here, we had we have two incredible women with us today, Jennifer McLaughlin and Tara Moore. And the reason I've really asked them to come back is to have some more understanding and clarity. Jen had actually called in last week to the show, and she got cut off. And enemy spirit will do that. You couldn't hear her. People were like, we can't hear her. And during this time of great transition, what also happens is a lot of things have to come to the surface. We know when we do our inner work, it's about triggers and looking within and how we can make that more loving and kind. You know, I always feel so blessed that I actually grew up on a native reserve in a very northern town of Saskatchewan. I grew up in a family where all of my friends from when I was very, very young, they were of many different cultures. And so even when this topic comes up, I have a hard time understanding how people go there. But when I look at the energy, I understand it's their upbringing, it's their imprints, it's a belief system. And we're really moving to a world where it's time for all forms of injustice to come to an end. And it's time for the justice to come through. And we know very clearly, too, that the systems are very, very broken. If you've listened to me, you know I say that repeatedly, the systems are broken. And as we're going through this great time of change, the systems have to be changed. And the reason that I'm so thrilled to have you guys here today and to help bring more awareness, one thing I love about what I'm seeing around the world is it's very clear a lot of people are tired of all the injustices and tired of all the things that need to change. And, you know, it's a new space, and you are both. I've known you, I think, both for over 5-6 years. We've had incredible conversations, all of us separate together. Enlightenment, understanding, compassion. You're incredible moms. We're all single moms, so we can bond over that too. Incredible moms, incredible kids. Watching you guys grow and transition. And I'm so honored and humbled that you were able to come today and, you know, share with the community, share with people what you see, what your perception is of what's going on right now. How can we help and empower even more people to create more love, more kindness, more understanding, and also things that you have done, things you are two such empowered women. Like, you guys are, it's, I get chills. It's what I love so much is you, although you've come across crazy things in your life, you come constantly with more compassion and love. And I really believe today that you're going to be able to help other people understand what you've done, because there's nothing in either of you that ever goes out in the world and says, you might be angry, might be pissed off, but I've watched you. You're like me. We get angry, pissed off, but we look in and we find that way. And so thank you for coming. We're going to have a free-for-all today and see where we go, a discussion and an openness of how we can really step it up again and really from your perspective. So I'm not sure. I just want to toss it out there. Tara, do you want to start? Do you want to share your thoughts of what's happening?
Yeah, I'm just so honored and excited to be here. And Jen, it's so great to be, you know, virtually here with you, because I always see you on all of our functions online, but it's nice to be all together. So thank you, Tracy. And thank you for that big introduction, you know, because as a human, I often find like, oh, I suck and I'm just not getting it done, you know, when in all actuality, you know, hindsight, looking at my life and who I am, yes. And I'm sure Jen can say that, well, we all can say the same. We've all been through lots of things, and I do constantly bring it back to myself and looking at okay, why is this happening? Not to me, but for me. And did I spend many years saying, why did this happen to me? Absolutely, for a long time. And, you know, to your question of how am I handling this time? There's a part of me that wants to turn a blind eye to it because I'm so used to racism, period. It's not a coincidence that yesterday in my Facebook memories, I had posted 3 years ago when I took my son to summer school and the teacher questioned if I was his mother or not, because my son, you know, genetically came out white with reddish blondish hair. And I remember that moment really hurting me because I didn't express myself the way I wanted to express myself to her, which was really pissed off and like, how ignorant and just ridiculous are you asking me and questioning him? And then when bringing it to a seminar that I was attending at the time, really grappling with my own inner ability to speak my truth, then being shut down by a group of people in there. And so it's funny, how am I handling today? I'm seeing today as an opportunity to really wake up and see that there is a much larger agenda, that this is not a race war. We can make it a race war. We can make it a religious war. We can make it whatever kind of war you want. But what I'm seeing is this is an opportunity for them to take us off of what's really going on. And what's really, in my opinion, going on is they're finding every way to strip us of our dignity, every way to strip us of every right that we have so that we can continually be enslaved, you know, with our invisible shackles.
I got chills. Like, I am chilled from head to toe, like, listening to you.
Yeah.
Amen.
I feel that that's what this is. And what I woke up this morning thinking is it's about multitasking. Right now, we have the greatest hearing in the world happening live on TV, breaking down how the FBI and the CIA lied their bums off. But everybody's focused on the race war and the rioting. Or everybody's no longer focused on COVID. It's like they just want to keep us like we're like
separated.
Like, oh, shiny
right?
object, shiny object, shiny object.
Instead What's the of- news? It's 1 minute you got the news, and then 2 weeks later it's gone, or the story's gone, and then they keep people. I was meditating this morning, and I'm like, they're trying so hard to keep us all separated, because if we separated. Think we're not one and separated, then you're going to like fight. And it's interesting because so many people that I speak with, maybe I'm blessed in our community, blessed in the people, they're like, we just want everyone to love and be in love. And I really, when I look at the energy, I'm like, this is a small portion that they're trying to push through, but it is an issue that still needs to be, like you said, I remember when you called me about that and we talked about what happened with your son. And as a mom, like, you must have just like, wow, you know, just I can imagine just feeling that sinking feeling, and like you said, empowerment to be able to speak up and say, like, and I didn't know what you would say. I'm sure you were stunned.
Yeah, I was stunned in that fear of be a good little girl, don't rock the boat, don't upset anybody because you're gonna get hurt.
That was key right there.
Yes, and don't
how many times
you're black. Who's going to believe you, you know, you know, and that's all old programming. But the last piece I wanted to say was the multitasking. Yeah. I saw that, you know, what Jefferson and I are doing here is we're watching the economic system. We're watching the political system. We're watching the health system. We're watching all those systems at once instead of just looking at one, because if you miss anything in any one of those, when it really collapses, you will be in a lot of trouble. And I think that's the thing is, and what I also heard you were saying, Tracy, is, you know, looking inward, I saw the US or the population of the world has to look as one and place the mirror up to ourselves as a community and stop pointing the finger out there. It's not out there. As a community, we have to look in the mirror and we have to figure out what is the right answer. I don't know what the right answer is, but there is a different answer.
Yeah, and I think there's that answer, the two that goes into, like we were saying, the love of the space. I always say, and I've said this when I was confused, when you'd hear certain things and people and attack other people. And I've been to other countries, so I've experienced it on a small level. Like when you go to certain countries, you know, women can't speak and the man has to speak for you, or they're looking at, I've been spit on in other countries. Like, it's like, so I can only have a little bit. I don't know what it's like to be, you know, a black woman. I don't know what it's like to be a Muslim woman. I don't know what it's like to be a Chinese. I'm not that, but it's, I know I do a little bit, right? And you're so right. I know. I was like, well, my biggest question was, if you rip off the skin, okay, God made us all perfect. We're all children of God. I'm like, but you're a man under there or you're a woman? Like your parts, your physiology, we all hurt. We all have the same, but it's programming and programming. And you know, Jen, so for people who don't know, if you're listening, Tara's in the States, Jen's in Canada. If I didn't say that, I want to say that again, because different spaces, right? And it is out there. And Jen, what do you think? Like when I look at people, and again, we talk about this a lot, but it's like programming, it's belief systems. Like you two are very good in your fields. You're such, you know, you're always helping out in the areas you're helping out. And you didn't buy into the programming as much too, that there was a lot of hurt and a lot of pain and a lot of educating that still needs to be done. You also didn't buy into the programming that had to be your life, even though there's been a lot of hurt. What do you feel about that, Jen?
I didn't buy into the programming because I look at each individual and myself as an individual. And it's very challenging to say, because when I was calling in last week, I said to you that I was not sure if I should call in, because as Tara mentioned, sometimes you just wanna be quiet and not rock the boat, because if you advance your challenges and your purposes, people label you as that angry black woman. And then it turns over into a race war when that was not the initial purpose of you standing up for yourself. It was about your own individual rights. And I just want to mention that it starts from not only the media, because how media portrays people, it's ingrained in society, and this is how it spreads outward. And then people believe the stereotypes and the unconscious biases, not only as blacks, as minorities, but other people all across the world. They escalate the isms, whether it's racism, classism, sexism, whatever isms that are out there, they perpetuate it. And
I get chills, Jen. Like you're so right. The media keeps feeding that rather than that love story. And you and I had a great conversation the other day too about many different countries where the systems, right? They even I look at, and you have, like, we have relatives and friends and people in all these different countries, and what the media pushes out isn't what's going on even on in those countries. And then people are afraid, oh, I shouldn't go to those countries, something really bad will happen, right? Meanwhile, there's nothing bad happening, like nothing, you know? Yeah, it's huge. Sorry, I just wanted to, I wanted you to continue, but I was excited. I'm getting choked, which to me is always okay. God spirit approved.
And this is why I was saying to you on the call last week, I'm trying to my mindset, where you said that the change is not seeing any changes. And in comparison with the United States and Canada, you may not feel comfortable about this. At least the racism in the United States is more open. Here it's very ingrained, it's systematic. People will smile in your face and they're not with you. For example, you know, the challenges I've had with school, my kids are far apart in age, and I've experienced the same thing from myself as a teenager. I've witnessed it with my daughter. I've witnessed it with my son. And in the 21st century, people are still calling people the N-words. People are still doing their unconscious bias of based on what they're looking at you as. And I'm saying to myself, where is the love? If, as you mentioned before, if you cut my skin, you're going to see the same blood as yourself. When we came into this world, we came from the same place and we're going back to the same place. So I'm not sure if people are not being conscious or being aware of.
Can I ask a question there? That, and I'm sure this might trigger some people, but I want your perspective on this because you said it and we have to have the conversation. Do you ever think or feel, and I could be totally out, so you guys please jump in here, but a lot of times, like when I can't listen to rap music, I just can't. I find it very offensive to me. So that's just me, okay? Other people listen to what you want to. But do you think that sometimes, like if you watch a lot of, watch some of these TV shows and things they put out, right? And they're stereotyping a lot too. And they are calling people the N-word and they're like all being all, in, you know, I got my gangster and, like, this is back to the media as well, right? So those shows, they have to be perpetuating fear. If you don't know you don't know any different, like, can you guys elaborate on this? Because I tell you, like, I'm always afraid to bring that up. I'm like, well, look at these shows. Look at this. Listen to some of this music. Or, you know, we got to address this too because that's imprinting into small children's brains. Like, we know what you're watching, you're putting in. And if you're listening to music that's violent or – and, Jen, you and I had a very good conversation about – two rappers that were extremely famous, lots of money, and they literally went at it with each other and one left. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, I get that's another issue, but do you think media, like right there, like there's this huge portrayal?
I want to share, I would like to share, you know, having the hypnosis background that I have, and we all know because we talk about it in your work, the elites, those that run everything, are very aware that we are easily programmable. We're programmed, and they've been programming us from thousands of years ago. But last night, and my son loves this movie. I've never liked it, but he loves it. Home Alone. And there happened to be a scene where he's Colin McCulkin is in his older brother's room and he finds the secret stash and there's a Playboy magazine. On the wall is the picture of not Farrah Fawcett, but somebody similar, you know, on the wall. So it's seated everywhere. It's just seated all over and all these little drops. And of course, you know, God love my partner, but he's like, do you know what Playboy is, Leland? And I'm looking at him like, don't even bring it up. Cause now he's going to want to know what it is. But that's the whole, they understand that. So we are programmed from the very beginning, you know, and, you know, in regards to music, I have watched my own personal self transition all through music genres. And I kind of think I'm a music snob because I love so many types of music, but I have watched my frequency shift in the music that I listen to. And at one point, some music, I really like, it really rocked me, you know? And now when I listen to it, I'm like, it just doesn't sound as good as it used to, but I still have this affinity for it, but I can see the differences and I can see what it pulls out in myself. And then yes, the verbiage that we use and the language, like, is it really necessary? And so my son comes home the other day and said, his little friend told him that it's okay for Black people to call each other nigger, but it's not okay for the white man to call the Black man a nigger. And if a white man calls him nigger, he will be arrested. So this is what my 9-year-old just learned this week. Wow. And the fact that this conversation in 2020 is still a real conversation, people need to wake up.
So how did you speak to him on that? And I know, Jen, you've had to do a similar thing. How did you guys speak to that? Because that's something that I would love for you guys to clarify. When I hear that word, I get triggered. Mm-hmm. I get triggered. I don't like it. I'm like, I don't like any name calling. I think all name calling is, but do you think that, like, so how did you respond to that? And how, I don't know, because I'm going to throw it to you. How do you respond to that? How do you say, like, that's not okay?
It's
when
hard.
They also hear it in other media, right? Like how, what did Jen, Tara, what do you guys have?
Yeah, Jen, I'll let you step in and I'll follow up. But yeah, Jen, go.
Well, I was not a big fan of rap music from the get-go. So that's kind of a little bit challenging for me to answer, but.
But the words, like she just said, it's okay if one says it and then not, like, how do you respond to people? Because people, obviously your child came home and said that was okay. So how do you deal with that? Because I don't know. I don't think it's okay that anybody does, but I told him
that, you know, I understood where that was coming from, but that they both needed to understand that it's not okay for anybody to say, because it does have such derogatory meaning that's lineages beyond. And that when we say these kinds of things, it just breaks down that community. It's like another notch removing from the belt. And he's also been very interested in what, like we watched Selma the other night, so he wanted to see that. What other movie? We recently watched Mercy. And so he's starting to understand, like, you know, this is happening and it's the same thing that happened then is happening now. But what's interesting is that I've kept him so far removed from a lot of this type of violence that when he sees it, it doesn't occur real to him. And he laughs at it. Like, how is this happening? This is happening like this. And I haven't let him watch George Floyd's, you know, incident, but many kids have seen it and I won't let him watch it. So he comes home to me and he asks me questions. And so I try to express to him in ways that I understand is in a neutral, objective way, but also having him understand that this is a real conversation going on in the world. And I also remind him that it isn't really about race. It's about, you know, justice, injustice, dark, light, remove the names, remove the skin, remove it all. There's just two energies going on here. It's a duality. And we need to find that middle and that love and that peace. So I try to teach him from that context. But again, you know, what kids say is it's crazy, but it all comes from us.
And just recently as this year, and I had a discussion with Tracy about this, a child actually called my son a nigger on the playground, and he went and told the principal and his teacher. They didn't even contact me to tell me that this occurred. So I called the school, and they kind of just dismissed me off and said, well, okay, we didn't think it was necessary to call you to let you know about this because they de-escalated the situation. I was not really happy about the outcome of that, but when my son came home, my daughter and I had to really sit down and explain to him that that's a derogatory term that they call Black people, but he should not accept that in his field because he's a wonderful, great human being. Because during that same incident, he actually stood up for another little girl and went to the principal and told them that they were bullying this little girl. So I told him that was great for him, but do not accept any stereotypes that anyone places on you, and know that you're a strong, bright little boy. So this is how we deal with it. We have to do it on a day-to-day basis because each day I realize there's lots of other little challenges that comes up. Like, for example, last week he came and he was laughing and he said, oh, Mom, you know why I sit at the back of the bus? I said, no. He goes, because Rosa Parks sat at the front of the bus and they told her to move to the back. That means Black people must sit at the back of the bus. And I said, no.
Wow.
So I said, where did you get that from? He goes, they told him the story of Rosa Parks at school, but that was his interpretation. Maybe the teacher didn't mean that interpretation, but this is how we have to be careful how we bring forward our narrative, especially to the young little ones that don't really have the spirit of discernment to know how things really are, right? Oh, sure. So I just said to him, no, you sit anywhere on the bus that you want to sit. If you want to sit at the front, you sit at the front, the middle, or the back. Your color doesn't determine where you sit, and you don't treat people. And I said to him, I hope you realize that you don't treat people according to the color of their skin or their background or what position they hold in society. You treat everyone as equal. You treat people as how you want to be treated. That's my mantra in my house with myself, my kids. Treat people as how you want to be treated.
Yeah, I love that. And you hit a really cool point because, Sarah, you brought up too, Jen, like how you're saying, like this programming, right? And then their minds are just so open that how they interpret it. And it's really good. You know, he brought that up. Your kids are, all your children are so amazing and giving. And to think that he took that way, like, thank gosh you brought it up now, right? Because that programming could be seeded for a long time. He's young enough that you could say, yeah, no.
But it shows you how powerful context is, right? Like a conscious context, because the context in which we are all still living is that we sit in the back of the bus. I struggle with every day that I am in the back of the bus. You know, I struggle with every day that I am number two, I'm number three, I'm number four, I'll never be number one. That's in the back. It's like the conscious collective. And, you know, I will say this because and I heard it in what you were saying, Jen. I am so tired of people telling me they didn't do it or say it because you're black, Tara, or because you're a woman. Don't tell me what they did or didn't do when I know in my heart, in my gut, whatever that situation was absolutely because of those things. And I will say, for the first time in my life, I work for a company where the color of my skin and the fact that I'm a woman doesn't matter, and I'm recognized and seen. We all are. I have a voice, and they hear me and they see me and they like don't shove me down. And I look back and think all these other companies I've worked for in this corporate world and the experiences I've had. And then people say, oh, Tara, that's not why they did it. It's like, but and I hate saying this because this will trigger people. You're white. You're telling me that I'm not experiencing racism and I'm experiencing it. And I experience it every day. I experience it in Austin, Texas. Well, I experience it everywhere I go. And I too was brought up to be racist against Asian and Eastern Indian people. And that was what my grandmother spewed all over the house. And she also taught me to be afraid of black men because she hated my dad. And that's what I was programmed to believe was wrong. And so here I am at, you know, 15 years old, hating the color of my skin and having to deprogram everything that was shoved in my mouth or in my face. And I had to grow in this world. And so I think to your point, Tracy, when you say, you know, what Jen and I have walked through or what anybody has walked through, you can either choose to be victimized by it or you can choose to one day wake up and say, why is this happening for me? Because I'm the one who came here. I chose my skin. I chose my family. I chose everything about it. If I'm going to be responsible for my journey here, why did I have this happen for me? And who am I to bring it to the world?
And what I love about what you just said, amen, well done.
Sorry, I got mad.
Get mad. Hey, we got to have a conversation. But it's true, right? But this is where these open conversations have to happen. Because it's like you said, you knew. Because there's another, and I'm going to, maybe Jen, you can speak to this. But there's a few things that I get really annoyed at right now because I see the energy. And one is, and I'm sure you guys have felt this, and this speaks a lot to where you were. And you've done the work. You've got this great, great business space now where they do see you, they hear you. And we've talked about how beautiful that is. But there's two things that I see happening right now. And maybe Jen, you want to jump in there. And one is, you know, where people say you have to hire A, B, and C. So then that's where you feel the disconnect. Like, am I being hired because I'm the token, you know, black person or Chinese person or whatever? Then you get more of the isms going. And the other thing right now, so I'd love for you guys to speak to this that I've noticed, and it makes me want to vomit, are the politicians going, well, vote for us because we'll make it better. And I'm like, okay, with all due respect, Tara, you guys had a black president for 8 years. Oh, and I don't want to get in that face, but I'm like, okay, if you know this is happening, you should be like, you didn't do any pro. No politician has ever done anything to help move these systems to make them better, to delete all of this. They're like, and in our country, that's like, oh, we're gonna make another committee. And I said this to Jen, I said, they're taking it as what, an opportunity to fool people? That I think this is also another conversation. It's like, no, we don't need any more programs. We don't need any more of you guys trying to position each other to fight against each other for a vote. We need to dismantle what's happening and have these real conversations to love each other, to respect each other, and stop calling people names and stop pitting. And I don't know, that gets me fired up because I'm like, stop you. I feel like they use a lot of times what they deem as, and I hate this term, but they deem minorities to pit each other for the vote.
I don't know. I heard today that Trump has now, it used to be 26 or 28% of the black pop, you know, popular, like they like him, but now it's over 46%. And I thought to myself, why can't they just say the American population?
American people.
Why does it have to be the blacks, the Mexicans, the Asians, the whites? You know, it's like, we're a group of collective people that vote for one person, not multiple little groups.
And what do you think about that, Jen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what I think all the time about politicians? I don't even want to go down that road. I trust no politician. And you know where my background from that comes from, Tracy. And look at the hypocrisy of it. A day before, the premier of the Ontario came up and said, well, he's comparing ourselves to the US. And he says, thank God there's no racism or systemic discrimination in Canada. And then people started banging on his door and saying, what you're talking about. And it's even in the newspaper today or online, you could see that there's a big issue with the Peel District School Board where they have systemic discrimination there, and they're going to have to, what they forced them to do was to apologize to the people. So how you're a politician saying that there's no systemic discrimination in Canada, but yet you're not even aware of what's going on in your own city, in your own area? Because that's a big deal right now. So it shows the hypocrisy. And I tell people all the time, politicians are not there to serve you.
No.
They're there to serve themselves. So you have to really be responsible for your own selves, do your own research, keep yourself knowledgeable, and try and make life for yourself as it is. Don't depend on a politician or think that there's someone out there that's going to save you.
Yeah. I like what you said here, Jen, and I love your feedback. You're like, apologies, and it seems like that's all these people, it's lip service, and this is what has to really change. They go, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I offended you, but they don't change anything. Like you said, the school systems, you're both dealing with school systems, healthcare systems, you're like, they put a nice shiny picture of everyone in one, and you're looking at it going, but you truly aren't, you're not living that, you're not, like, how many times have, like, Jen, you've got apology from the school or you get nothing. Like, you know, you can feel it doesn't mean anything. You can feel they're just doing it lip service. Can't you there, Jen?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what they'll do, especially in organizations where this is coming up now. Okay, well, we're going to solve the problem, and this is what I'll do to solve the problem. We're going to give you a sensitivity course or a diversity course. And what they do in these courses, I've been to so many of them, is just perpetuate the stereotypes that they have against all people. That little workshop or seminar isn't really helping getting to the deep, the deep root of the solution. It actually perpetuates it and makes it even worse, because they come up with these things on these boards and it's all stereotypes.
Yeah. I don't know. Rather than as if we can't break out of, we can't break out of those paradigms. It's because all we know is to keep pulling from an old paradigm. And I think something that was a little aha moment to me last week is that, because I've been watching some of my family members, really, I love their opinions and what they're sharing, but it's coming from a context of anger and rage and frustration. And I get it. We all need to express it. But I keep asking myself, if people weren't responding this way, how would you respond? And I started seeing that people would have to face their fears so deeply, meaning, what if everyone who wanted, I don't know if I can explain it, but if everybody was to go out and peacefully protest, if you're really facing your fears, what I keep seeing is what that really looks like is you just stand there. And while the person is beating you, you don't respond. And you don't respond. It's what I learned in Al-Anon. Don't get on the merry-go-round. The moment you get on the merry-go-round and you start responding into the interaction, you now have the chaos. But what would it look like for people to peacefully sit and protest, almost like Gandhi, but now you've got millions of people doing it. And as the officers or whoever they are beating you, you're the one who is willing to take the step to go down there. And if you go down there, you have to know that you might get hurt. So if you're willing to do that, then you have to face your fear. And the fear is you might die. You might die on that day. And so I don't know what the answer is, but I keep seeing that you've got to go so deep into this level of what are my fears about all of this? What are my fears? Not what the universe or the politics or the media is telling me. What is my fear as a human being of what I've been programmed? And I feel like if we can get to that, there might be some glimmer of a new paradigm to awaken people. But people are more interested in going down and fighting the problem. Yeah. And instead of really looking at, why am I so triggered by this? And why do I need to post all this stuff and make this politician wrong and make this guy wrong and that guy wrong? Why can't I look at it from a bird's eye view and say, wow, look, they're all making each other wrong. But what's the real answer solution here? And I don't know that people are really willing to allow themselves to face that fear.
And I think I love your point here, because you, all three of us, have gone down this path. That's why we do what we do every day. It's why we show up the way we do, is we look at our triggers. And this is a whole part of the awakening that has to, I believe, go into the school systems, go into the office buildings, is the work we do, where you said we get deep. Like, why is that, you know, white man, Chinese man, black man, whatever, why is that person so angry at another person? What is the belief system? What is the programming? And there's a fear of learning that, like you said, because we all know when we've had to look at it, it's scary. And then it means you got to change. You got to look at your own behavior. And that is partly what I think. We got to start finding that creative way to pushing that into these systems and organizations, because they would find a lot of their systems would crumble very quickly. And it is, it comes back to us, no different than Jen, how you were saying, you know, you can sit with your children. Both your children have grown up in this way of being. They've grown up with the compassion and understanding, and, you know, they're children of God, and you've had to keep molding them and shift them through the hurt and through the words and things both of you have. And, you know, Jen, you work in the part of you is in this, these systems. What do you notice in those systems too? What are things that you say, hey, we could maybe implement this, or this could happen and change? What happens when you bring stuff forth like that? Or do they just shut you out?
They just shut the people out. I'll just give an example of what my son's teacher told me. She said, she asked me to put up a recommendation at the school board. And she said, you know what, Jen, you know, they don't listen to frontline workers. They listen to the people at the top. So everything gets shuffled and nothing gets implemented because they don't really listen to the people that are actually doing the work. And it's not just with the school board. It's with most all these government systems. Yeah. It's very sad.
It's time for them to be broken down. It's not. I think that's the big thing we all agree on, is it's time that people wake up and say, they are not for you. They're not for you. Because if they were, we wouldn't be having these issues come forth. We wouldn't be, they would be over. If they were for us, they would say, wait a minute, we have a huge issue with race in our school systems or in our, and they just think by adding people to their company, it makes them look good. And it's not, they're not fixing any issues. And like we said, more committees. And so is there anything that either of you do with your families or your communities that you could suggest to other people that are listening, that are struggling on either side? Maybe it's somebody that needs to wake up, and maybe it's also somebody dealing with so much racism that, because it's easy. I could see easy, and I see it energetically. Yeah, enough people attack you, you get mad. Enough people attack you, you don't know what else to do. You this curse energy just comes in, and it makes you feel less than and unworthy, and you want to give up. And, you know, I know in other countries, you know, Canada, US, like, I have tried and I've worked with people, and I can't tell you how hard it is to get people off. So we're in here, it's welfare. I think you're just called social assistance, or out of women's shelters and homes. Like every time they go, and Janique works in the systems, and she can probably tell you too, that every time we work to better them and they take a step forward, oh no, we're going to punish you. So now we'll take away your money. Now we're going to keep you in poverty. Yeah. Like, what can you say to people that are really struggling with this? Suggestions, things that they can start to do a little bit more, or as each of us make a difference, we can keep trickling it out. It seems big, but
it is. And then I have to say, true, Tracy, because I'm asking myself, you know, how is it that I'm at this place where, you know, I can see this space of, I don't want to go down and protest. I just, you know, I'm not interested. I want to hold my energy in a different way.
Love.
But I, yes, but I really believe that you have to be willing to do the hard work. I mean, I can't speak for Jen. I only know Jen through the very few interactions we have within our community. But I can say this about Jen and you, Tracy. We didn't start yesterday working on ourselves. You know, I'm 20 years in the making, I think, of when I decided to go to work on myself. And I'm going to be 50 this year. And I feel like, you know, I probably should have had all these aha awakenings when I was 20, but I was too busy in the muck, in the anger, in the darkness, grappling with the programming. And so I'm blossoming today at 49 years old. And
hey, we're right with you, honey. We're all the same.
Yeah. And you know, what I want to say to give back to people, and it moves me, is that don't give up. You know, there isn't a day, Tracy, and I've told you this, that goes by where I don't hear your voice in my head saying, keep going, keep going. I don't have the life and the things that I have. And hey, it's good for me. It may not be what other people want, but I love my life, even though I have days where I'm like, this life is crazy. But that's a first world problem. But there isn't a day that goes by where I don't hear that. Don't stop. Keep going. Even when it's dark, even when it hurts, even when I have no answers, you have to look at your stuff and you have to look at, you know, why you make the choices you've made, why you have the thoughts you have. Where did they come from? Why do you believe that? If you don't start asking those questions, you won't have that foundation, and the foundation has to get clean. Because there's lots of cracks in them, there's lots of dirt in them, and they were seeded. And they were seeded because there was a dark side of the world that would love to keep us down. And we as soul collectives cannot be kept down. And that is why I believe we are here. This is an evolution, a life lesson, it's a journey, it's beautiful. And we all came here to take part in that. And so I really believe that when you do that kind of work, and it's not going to be easy, and it might mean that you'll lose your house and your car, and you might foreclose, you might have a bankruptcy, you might lose your life, you might lose your child. It means that you have to go look at all the possibilities that life is here to provide you to learn from. And so I think when you're willing to lose it all of it. And every day I pray that I never lose my child. I don't know that I want to go through that. I never want to go through that. And I pray that I never have to, but you know what? I'm here in this life and it might happen. It might happen. He might lose me. That might happen. So those are, you know, I think that's where we have to begin. And it's not easy. It's not fun. And you find your community, you find your support. And those are the people that will support you through that walk. And sometimes those people change throughout the years, but that's my biggest thing I could say, because it's not easy.
Jen?
I will agree with Tara when she says that you can't give up. I've never given up. No matter if the road says go straight, and when I go straight, there's an obstacle there, it might be challenging. I find another way to get out on the other side. And as Tara said, and I'm gonna agree with her again, you have to have good community. Good community like yours, Tracy, is very essential, and even good friends. Throughout the years, I've shedded lots of people that were not good for me. And I have a handful of friends that are there that supports me. And that's all that really matters, the support of your friends. And I'm willing to pour into them also. And you mentioned about giving back. For myself, you know, I'm very passionate about schools and the school boards, especially your little ones. I'll tell a parent, do not listen. I shouldn't say do not listen. Listen to the authorities, but don't take everything they say as a narrative against your child. You know your child the best. You stand up for your child. You go on committees. It may seem like a lot of time, but myself, I'm just giving from my own experience, I became a member of the parental involvement committee. So the principals and the superintendents can see me out there, and I'm fighting not only for my son, but for other parents also. So they know that whatever policies or whatever legislation that they're going to implement, it's going to be for the benefits of all the children, all the parents. But a lot of our parents are programmed to believe that the teachers know best, the authorities know best what's right for us. The authorities don't know what's right for us. If you look within your own self and search, you will find and you will know what's right for you. But don't stand up in an angry way, especially as a minority, because that's the narrative or the stereotype that they have of you, as I mentioned before, that you're the angry Black woman. So you go, you do your research, because when you have your research and the knowledge that you have behind you and you have it on paper, they can't deny it. Sometimes they themselves get embarrassed because they get tripped up because they don't even know what you know. So as parents, I'm imploring you, all parents, but especially Black parents, do not just take what the system tells you about your child. They'll tell you that your child is not deserving of a higher education. You go out there and you fight for it. And all parents, you know your child. Love your child, pour into your child. You may think it's not working, but if you constantly, it's consistency that, if you constantly do it, you will see the results. And after a while, it has happened to me. I've led into better resources for my son, better teachers for my son, okay? Even for my daughter, better things open up, okay? So don't give up. You got to fight for our kids.
Yes,
I love it. And don't give up and think that just because you're hitting the wall, you're not. I'm chilled head to toe. Just because it may not be reflecting quite yet what you think, people forget that the programs we run with show up now in our life. And sometimes, you know, that's what we're walking in. So we don't give up today, and you wake up tomorrow and think, well, wait a minute, I still feel like I'm in the same space. But if you can feel and know, right, you're changing, like you said, you're creating this difference. It takes a little bit of time for our reality to shift that, right? It takes a little time for it to show up. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I'm walking in this new world now, this more inclusive. And I always have a prayer, and that I always thank God that we can be just people who live on earth, like not even this country and that country and this person and your minority and your middle class and upper class. I say, God, can we just be children of God living on earth as one, because there's no separation. And I love what you've both said here about not giving up no matter what. And it's something I love so much about both of you, and having the privilege and the honor of knowing you the way I do, very intimately over these years. You never give up. And even when crap is thrown at you, you both stand up. I've seen it with your kids. I've seen it with you. And you're both out there, but really creating change. And I want to honor both of you for that, because it touches my heart, because you're creating change everywhere you go to say, that's not okay. And you're both finding your voice the way you said you found your voice. It takes some of us to be almost 50, and that's okay. We're all like, it takes us a bit, but your children are reflecting that. Your children are sharing with you what they're seeing, what they're experiencing. And then they go and say, no, that's not okay. Like you said, you know, not okay.
Even in my relationship and in our household, you know, I'm seeing how the programming of just nitpicking each other, nitpicking, teasing, like teasing is okay. And teasing is a form of just ebbing at that strength within you. It's just ebbing it down. And so, you know, I stand for that. And it's not always easy to stand for that in the household, because it's like, oh, what's your problem? You know, you're not having fun, you know, but I see that we're tearing each other apart. And I think, you know, when you want to tear a world of people down, that's where you start. You start in the home, and you start to tear the home down. When the home is down, then the community is down. When the community is down, then it's a done deal. And so I've been standing for that. And it's not easy, because I find myself with the passive aggressive comments or the passive aggressive nitpicking that's just for fun. And I see that it's not. It hurts my man, it hurts my son, and it hurts me. And so I've been really trying to look just at that within myself. And then how am I being that in the world? You know, because it always starts right here. And again, it's working on that foundation.
I believe we're going to a new world, and I'm really happy to see. I am happy to see so many people in the world coming up saying, I don't like a lot of how it's done, but I can say it's happy to show that enough is enough. I think everyone's saying enough is enough. Like love is what we're born with. Mm-hmm. Hate is what we learn. And people forget that. And we come back to the core. We are all born in love. Like that is our true essence coming from God. And then, like we say, we bring in our programs and our imprints. But okay, we're at the top of the hour. So I know it's actively, gotta go. Final words. Dan, we'll start with you. What do you want to say to people? What do you want to leave with people today?
God is love. That is my real overtake on life, that love overreaches everything. And it doesn't matter where you were born, what color skin you are, what class you are, everything, love overshadows all that. And if the world would really look at that and really not give their power over to the powers that be, because we as a collective could make a big, massive change, because the few that control the world, if we took back our power and overshadowed the whole world with love, it would be a beautiful place to be.
I'm like full body chills. I'm like full body chills. I'm like,
yes.
Thank you, God. I'll take that. And that's the world. Right? Tara, what's your final?
I'll just echo what Jen said. I mean, ditto, you know, it's love. It's, and then I think we have to get to what is love, you know, what is love without all the programming of what love should be? What is love? You know, love is, it's infinite. It's just so infinite. And so, yeah, just keep looking, keep shining the mirror, looking inward, you know, find the peace, find the love, explore your anger, where it comes from and why, take ownership, let it go. And then never give up, never stop, keep going. Yeah.
I love that. It's so true. Never. I think that's the one thing that I've used it. You guys do it is when I wanted to give up. It's like, you know, don't give up. It's coming. It's here. And by saying it's here, you do start to see the shift. And yes, we all know we got to love more. We've got to be honest and real with ourselves. You've both said it very well. I think the powers to be are very afraid that we're all waking up saying enough of your nonsense. We got to care for people. And injustice is an injustice, no matter who you are, where you are. They should be dealt with. The systems can change. And the more people realize the power within, with the connection of, I say the God of your understanding, but to God, to understand that beautiful core of love, we will make a difference. I don't believe that we are going to keep seeing this over and over. I believe we are on the brink of that miracle. Yes. That the more we love, that we can be the part of history where when your children are 50, they're going to go, remember when we were 8 and 9, this is what happened.
Yes.
But we don't have that anymore. Could you imagine my parents lived with that?
Yes.
And that's what I want to leave with all of you today. That your children will look back and go, could you believe they lived like that? Could you believe? So everybody listening, thank you. And remember, you have a choice. And I believe, I've got chills with every ounce of who we are, by the power of the hand of God, that we're going to rewrite history. And it's time for the old to be done. And it's time for us to step up in love. So thank you guys for joining me this week. I am so honored.
Thank you.
It went so fast. Yes. I'm like, whoa. Yes. More conversations to be had. Yeah. And I'm just so grateful for both of you, how you've affected my life. And we've done this together and watching you grow. And you're a real inspiration. And I am very honored. And I know we are going to head into some unprecedented times together. So thank you again. You. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we're going to see you next week right here, same time, same place.
Yay.
Yay.
Thank you for listening to the Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I teach you how to connect to the God consciousness so you can unlock your superpowers and connect at light speed and live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where together we will unlock the secrets of your body and your life. As the founder of the Body Regeneration Academy, I, Tracy L, will provide you with the insight and simple tools you can apply right now in your life to move you forward and leave the past in the dust. To join the Body Regeneration TLC Online Academy, make sure you check me out at TracyLClark.com.